You got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 21, or actually Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Sunday school, going through about the second coming, we're teaching and preaching on doctrine in the Sunday school and what the church believes. I believe this, every Christian in this room, every saved person ought to know what you believe, why you believe it, and have a Bible to back it up. And you ought to know what you believe, why. And because if not, the Bible says don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. So you can get tossed around. You got Jehovah's Witnesses coming up to you, and Mormons. You got all kinds of different religions. They got these Jewish, they call Israelites. They claim they're Jewish and all that stuff. And I went through the thing about doctrine, about Mormon church. They teach they came from Jews. They're Jewish. They're the lost tribe of Ephraim, which is a lie, and because there's not a Jew in the whole bunch. And even if there was, they need to get saved just like anybody else. But as saved people, we need to know what we believe, why we believe it. And that's why we go after people. We want to see people saved. A church that knows what they believe and not ashamed of it will go after people. If you know what you believe and you know you're not ashamed of it, you'll go try to win people to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win people to the Lord. We always should have that mindset. Jack Hiles said this. He said, you ought to have a soul mindset of you know, lost soul, heaven or hell, and have a mindset. I went and looked at a truck the other day for my father-in-law, or my Josh's father-in-law, and got witnessing the guy, and the guy was interested. He never heard it. And come to find out, Destiny's grandfather worked on the truck and found out that. So, What a thing. And the guy said he's going to come to church. I told him, you know, you need to get saved. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. So, and we need to be always about the Father's business, like I was talking about this morning. But let's read down. I'm going to get to a passage here. Let's read Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was a little bitty man, and the kids sing about it in Sunday school. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And Zacchaeus, we know Zacchaeus was up in the tree, the sycamore tree. There's been some people in the Bible have been behind trees, around Jesus Christ hung on a tree. Adam and Eve hid behind the tree in Genesis 3. And Nathaniel was under a tree praying. And trees in the Bible is a real good, interesting study. If you study trees in the Bible, they represent people. They represent certain things. Represents a nation. Fig tree represents Israel. So trees, and we have a family tree. We have, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and Jesus healed a man. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. And we have that family tree. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Thank God. Thank God. All I can say is thank God he went to be a guest with a sinner. Jesus came to our house. Amen. Thank God. And Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he was accused of hanging around with sinners. And I thank God he did. And Zacchaeus stood and said on the Lord, notice this. He said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, notice he says, I restore him fourfold. That's law. As in the Old Testament, if you took anything unlawfully or you took anything away from somebody by lying or thievery, you had to pay fourfold. That's why David, in the Bible, lost four kids. He had murder and he stole a man's wife. And he paid fourfold. And Jesus saith unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. And I mean, folks, if you're in your right mind, if you're sitting here this morning, or if anybody, if you want salvation in your house, You don't want your house to be hell on earth. You want your house to be a little bit of heaven on earth. Amen. You want your family to have a little bit of taste of heaven. Yeah, I want our church to have a little taste of heaven. I want us personally to have a little taste of heaven. Yeah. And that's the way it ought to be in our lives. Amen. And you can have it if you want it. I mean, you don't have to wait to come to church to have a little bit of heaven on earth. Amen. Amen. You can have it at home. You can have it at a red light. You can have it in your car. You can have it anywhere. You can have a little bit of heaven on earth and with the Lord. As long as God's in the car, as long as the Lord's in the situation, man, you can have a little bit of heaven on earth. Amen. And the Bible says this. This is not what I'm preaching about. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because they was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. We went through that in Sunday school. They said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Are you going to restore the kingdom now? They thought, man, this is going to be great. Jesus Christ was with us for 40 days, and we seen him and held him for 40 days and 40 nights. And now, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom? He said, no. He said, I'm heading out. I'll be leaving, but I'm coming back. And that's what we're talking about, the second coming. And I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Yeah, amen. He left over 2,000 years ago. We're closer now than we ever been before. Amen. And like I said this morning in Sunday school, in 1970-something when I got saved, they were saying Jesus is coming back. And I mean, I believed it and I still believe it. I believe the Lord's coming back. And I thought, man, I didn't think my kids would grow up. I thought, why in the world am I bringing kids in this world? And I didn't think my kids would grow up. Now I got grandkids and I'm in this world, in this wicked old world, but I can have a little bit of heaven on earth. I can have a little bit of the kingdom of God in the home, amen? And I can have a little joy and peace and happiness with the Lord. And the Bible says, they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, verse 11. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country, talking about himself, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Notice it says 10 servants. 10's the number of Gentiles at 10 pounds. Now, you'll find the same thing. He'll talk about shekels in another place. And he says, 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it says, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man have gained by trading. Then came the first and said, Lord, thy pound have gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, well thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, but have thou authority over 10 cities. Notice 10 being the number of Gentiles. And the Lord said, while he's reigning, he's going to give you opportunity to be able to reign with him. Amen. That's when Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. He's going to give you opportunity to be able to serve with him and reign with him on this planet. That's just not a hoax. That's just not a fairy tale. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Now look what the Bible says. Verse 18. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And the another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in the napkin, holding it to himself. God's given you everything you got. He's holding it to himself, which I have kept laid up in the napkin. And I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. You know, the Bible says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You can condemn yourself by your own mouth. And the Bible says this. He says, verse 22, and he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I lay not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou then gavest out that my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. But I say unto you, that on every one that which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those not mine enemies, which would not have me reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Let's pray. Father, I pray, my Father, help us, Lord God, to understand the word of God and take the passage seriously, literally, what it says. And I pray, God, help us to, Father, the Bible says the beginning of fear is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, fear of the Lord. And I pray, God, help us to have the fear of God in us. And God, give us a tender heart towards you. And help us, the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. Help our love be so great that, God, we love you, that we don't fear man. And what, my Father, we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Save that soul in Jesus' name. Amen. He gives you illustration about three people. And he said, one guy goes out, takes whatever he's given, and he multiplies it. Another guy, he gives, God gave him a gift. You know, the Bible says that God's given every man a measure of faith. He's given everybody in this room a measure of faith. It's up to you what you do with it. It's up to you what you, if your faith increases, if your faith grows, and if you get in the book. I mean, when I got saved, couldn't read or write. I wanted to know this book. I wanted to know what it said. And I wanted to know God. I want to know God. I still want to know God. I still want to get closer to him. I want to know more about him. I want to know more about his word. I want to understand things. And most people get saved a lot of time. In this generation, they don't care about the things of God. They don't care about learning about God. They don't care about serving God. They don't care about his coming again. They don't care about souls getting saved. They don't care about their loved ones going to hell. They don't care about nothing. That would be the guy that had his pound in his napkin and said, I just held it to myself. I mean, God's given you the greatest gift in all the world. He's given you the greatest thing in all the world that you could ever have is the gift of salvation. Free, paid for, bought and paid for by Jesus Christ himself. And what do you do with it? You sit around, do nothing with it. Amen. When God's given you everything. But God's looking for some ambitious people. He's looking for some people that would go out instead of just about themselves, that they would go out and tell others about him. Amen. Because I'll tell you, how many of y'all could agree with me this morning? He is the best thing that ever happened to us.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. He is the best thing. You know, he says down in verse 11, or actually verse 13, and he called his 10 servants. Notice it's 10 right here. And delivered them 10 pounds and said on them, occupy till I come. He deals with three. And now he's got 10. He said, occupy till I come. I looked up that word occupy in the dictionary. It means to take siege, take possession and maintain it, control over a place or a region. To take siege, to maintain it, and to take possession over a place or individual. And God wants you, he wants you to allow himself to take siege and take control of you so you can maintain a place as a Christian and living for him in this life.
Amen.
I mean, man, occupy till I come. And it says, it also says to fill or take time or space, to dwell or reside therein, to hold or fill an office, to engage and busy oneself in that office. 2,000 years ago when Jesus left this planet, he said, I'm coming back. I'll be back. And then he says, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. And faithful is he to believe in what we do not see. And reward of his faith is to see what he really believes. I mean, man, God's looking for people that believe what they say they believe and do what they say they'll do. And believe in God, the Bible says, by faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. As a child of God, we're supposed to have faith in him, believing that he's going to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We should have faith in God to believe that God's going to take care of all our problems. You know, the Bible says that here's the Bible, one of the greatest Christian verses in all the Bible. It says, for we know, Romans 8:28, it's talking to Christians, for we know all things work together for good to them that are called according, or that them that are saved are called according to his purpose. God says, I'm going to work it all out for good. And what happens is that most Christians will get preoccupied and they'll get discouraged and they'll quit. And they won't occupy themselves when it comes to his kingdom. They won't occupy their home with him. They won't occupy their surroundings. They won't occupy their job. I mean, everybody at your job ought to know that you're a Christian. Amen. Everybody ought to know that you're saved. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying you go in there Monday morning, go in and say, hey, I want everybody's attention. Now, it wouldn't hurt to do it. You might get fired. But you say, I want everybody's attention. I want you to know I'm a Christian. You just say, you know why you won't do that? Because then people will be watching you.
Amen.
And you'll have to give account. And people will be saying, I didn't think Christians lived like that. I didn't think Christians talked like that. I didn't think Christians acted like that. And the reason why people won't do it, they won't want to tell people about Jesus Christ. They don't want people to know. I'll tell you what, that means you're ashamed of him. Amen. You're not really occupying. You're not really occupying this vessel that he's given you for his glory. You're not occupying your home and raising your family for Jesus Christ and putting him first in your home. The Bible says this, you know what we worry, everybody sitting in here this morning, you're worried about money. You're worried about what's going to happen in the future. You worry about all kinds of things. You get worried about, you get frustrated, worrying about this, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. And then you're preoccupied with all these worries and all this stuff that's going to happen. And then what happens is you won't open your mouth. You won't occupy for his glory. And you get preoccupied with those things. The Bible says, fret not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You're supposed to trust him in everything. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I mean, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, you just trust me. He says, occupy till I come. I've given you a talent. I've given you a position. I've given you money to multiply. I've given you all these gifts. And what do you do with it? You know, the Bible says God's given us gifts. One of them is the apostles and the prophets and then the pastors and teachers and evangelists. And then the Bible says he also gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost is in you, a hope of glory. It says, be filled with the Spirit. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Do you have any fruit in your life? Fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, gentleness, happiness, temperance. Do you have any fruit in your life? Occupy till I come. Occupy. We occupy by being faithful to our calling. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. That's in Matthew 25. You know, take your Bible, say, well, I'm really not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to do anything. But you have a holy calling on your life. Take your Bible, look in 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Everybody in this room, you've got a calling in your life. You've got a calling. And don't go around saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'll tell you what, you need to find out what God wants you to do. And I'll tell you, there's some things that you can know. Brother Jesse told me the other night, he said, I preached on the will of God. He said, I've been wanting to preach on the will of God. He said, there's some things that's clear about the will of God. I mean, clear as a bell. There's giving God praise is one of them. That's why Sunday morning you come into church. We call this a worship hour. You come into church, you're supposed to be worshiping him. You're supposed to be praising him. And I'm not saying you go crazy and I'm not rolling on the floor and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it ought to be a thankfulness in your heart and appreciative that, Lord God, for saving my soul, and praise coming out of your mouth, singing praise to him and lifting up your voices like a trumpet. You ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. God, you've been so good to me. I don't deserve what you've done for me. But problem is, we don't occupy. We're not letting the Holy Ghost of God occupy us. We're not letting the Holy Ghost occupy the home. We're not letting the Holy Ghost occupy the house or the church house or the job or wherever we're at. We're not letting the Holy Ghost occupy us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look what the Bible says. Paul writing here to Timothy. He said, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. You need to mark this in your Bible. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Who gives you the spirit of fear? Your flesh, the devil, the world, your 3 enemies. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. It says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace have given us in Jesus, which was in Jesus Christ before the world began, and now made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and mortality light through the gospel. I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not what? Ashamed. I am not what?
Ashamed.
Amen. We have no reason. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Unfaithfulness hinders, it hurts the Lord's work. It hurts and hinders the word of God. People start saying, well, this so-and-so, I've had this happen many times. I've said it 100 times or more. Is that so-and-so go to your church? And I start praying, oh, God. Oh, God. The so-and-so, and it's a blessing when you get a good testimony of somebody. And so, you know, so-and-so goes to your church. I really appreciate that person. They helped me. They've been a blessing to me. They pray for me. Man, that does my heart good. But when they say, you know, so-and-so, you know, he's not really what he says he is or she. That bothers me, man. It bothers me. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 12. It hinders and hurts the work of God. You're supposed to occupy. He says, occupy till I come. Occupy force. Man, you know what we're on this planet for? We're light of the world. We're supposed to be little lights of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing that song with the kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm going to let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. And you're supposed to let your light so shine before men they might see the good works of our Father in heaven. Amen. You're supposed to occupy. Are you doing your job? Are you occupying until he comes? Look at Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 37. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Look what the Bible says. And back up to verse 35. He said, let your loins be girded about and your lights, what? Burning. Burning. A fellow said one time, he said, I'd rather burn out for Jesus Christ than to rust out doing nothing. Amen. Occupy till I come. I'd rather burn out for him. Amen. Let your light so shine. Ye yourselves like also men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? What? What is it? Watching. You know that Bible tells us? That Bible tells us if you love his appearing, you're looking for him, and you love his appearing, he'll give you a crown for loving his appearing. Amen. When was the last time you walked outside, and man, all of a sudden you look up and look at the clouds and go, oh, Lord Jesus, come on. Lord, come on back. When was the last time you said, Lord Jesus? Oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long? Here we shout that glad song. Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When's the last time? I mean, we're supposed to be occupying till he comes. I mean, folks, hinders and hurts the work of God when Christians don't do what they're supposed to do. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself. Now, notice this. I want you to underline this. Underline it. Mark it in your Bible. Because you're going to be ashamed. My job is to keep you from being ashamed when he comes. I'm trying to stir you up to good works. Trying to get your mind where you get your mind right. Get your mind set. We're occupying. We're an occupied force. He's already given us the weaponry. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, he's already given us all the weapons that we need to occupy. You know what your enemies are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. We're here in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm just supposed to occupy in his name till he comes. Are we occupying? Are we doing our job? Look what it says. Look on down. It says, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall girt himself and make them to sit down to meat, but come forth and serve them. Jesus Christ is going to put on a waiter's y'all seen that table. They look like it's going into eternity. Marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus is going to come by and say, what would you like to eat? And you're going to say, Lord, Lord, sit. You sit down, God. Let me do it. Let me do it. No. You served me on earth, right? You loved me, right? I'm serving you now. No, Lord God, no, 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 God. No, just sit down, Lord. We're going to feel that way. None of us deserve it.
Right.
But at least if you tried.
Amen.
Lord, I tried.
That's good.
I failed in time, but I tried.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Yeah. He'll say, I know. I know you did. I know you did. I watched you. I saw you. I was there with you. Occupy. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. We probably want to get to the first. I told Brother Jim yesterday, I think it was. I said, what a blessing at Vacation Bible School. It looked like 50% of the people working. Usually it's 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. But what a blessing was, as a pastor, man, I was so blessed watching everybody just working. Sometimes your heart might not be all the way in it, but it was just a blessing. I'm watching the buses going in and out. I'm trying to make sure the buses are running. Make sure I do my part. If I do my part, you do your part, we get it done. Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, notice that, calling us holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Notice your calling. He says, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him. Faithfulness. Unfaithfulness hurts. But he's given us an example. Who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. But this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, for as much as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. Moses really was faithful in all his house as a servant. Right now, folks, we are servants. Faithful. Supposed to be faithful servants. Jesus said, take the pound from him because he didn't think I was honorable enough to serve. He didn't think I was honorable when I gave it to him. He didn't think I was honorable enough to do anything with it. He was ashamed of me. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you at my coming. That got a hold of me a long time ago. When I started thinking, I want him, his eyeballs looking in my eyes and have him looking at me saying, I'm ashamed of you. I've been pastoring 31 years. I don't like to miss church. I don't like to miss doing what I'm supposed to do. I've got a job to do. You've got a job to do. It's service. I know we get weary. My people would say to me, you take a vacation? Not really. When I go away, I'm usually preaching. I said, man, I just want to keep faithful. I don't want to let up. I don't want to back up. I don't want to shut up. I want to keep getting on till he comes. He said, take that pound away from him and give it to this guy over here that got 10. This guy believed me. Now, this guy over here doesn't go to hell. He just doesn't get a reward. He doesn't get to reign with Jesus Christ. Can you lose a reign? Yes, you can. Wouldn't it be something? When the Lord comes back, he sets up his kingdom, you get to reign with him? We could get into a whole nother message on that.
Amen.
Look on down. Look what it says. Verse 4, for every house is built by some man, And he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant and a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are what? You're his house. If we hold fast that confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. I realize this is a tribulation passage, but still, application applies. Occupy till I come. Are you doing your job? Are you serving? A preacher one time, a Nazarene evangelist named Bud Robinson. Bud Robinson had a cleft palate, and this guy was a Nazarene evangelist. And he would pray, and he would pray all the time, and people would call him all the time. I've been around some older preachers that their ministry, their health went, and their ministry was just praying, and they were praying for people. He said Robinson reported, this is what he prayed every day. He prayed this every day. Oh, Lord, give me a backbone as big as a saw log and ribs like the floor joists under the church floor. Put iron shoes on my feet. Galvanize my breeches on my body. He said, give me a rhinoceros hide for skin and hang up a wagon load of determination in the gable of end of my soul. Help me to sign the contract to fight the devil as long as I've got teeth, and to fight with the devil as long as I got hands, and fight the devil as long as I got feet, and kick him. He said, when I'm footless, handless, and toothless, help me to gum him to death. Determination. We occupy by giving and sending out the gospel. Giving and sending out the gospel. Now we could cover all that. We've done covered all that. You get the word of God. That's why the word we have Bibles here. We give Bibles out. If somebody gets saved, we give the Bible out. Somebody needs a Bible, we give them a Bible. We give out tracts. We occupy by giving and sending. We have missionaries. We have Brother Robinson just here standing at the church house. We send missionaries around the world trying to help supply their need, trying to help them anyway. Brother Maurice in Haiti. We got missionaries in Europe. We got missionaries in Africa. We got Brother Wright that's in the South. He's seeing people saved by the hundreds in Africa. I mean, we got folks going into prisons all over. We occupy by giving and sending out the gospel. I mean, man, the Lord said, occupy till I come. Amen. Are you a part of the occupation? Or are you a part of the resistance against the occupation? We're supposed to be standing for the truth, giving the world the gospel. Look at Matthew 28. Look what Jesus said. Matthew 28. We're supposed to be doing our job. Matthew 28. So I realize this. Some people say, well, I just don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to witness. There's always a starting point. You got to start somewhere. And you can mess up. You're allowed to mess up. But you're also allowed to correct it. You can start out by living right, by living a testimony in front of your loved ones, by doing the right thing. My wife and I, we got saved at 18 years old. Her and I was kind of shacking up at 18 years old. At 19, we decided we're going to do the right thing. We got married. I mean, I went to church. I went to a big old church, and I thought, I'm going to get rid of her. I'm tired of fighting with her. We used to fight like cats and dogs. And when we got saved, she got saved. Man, I knew God wanted me to marry her. And we got married, and I said, I'm going to serve God. What are you going to do? She said, I'm going to serve God with you. We were a unit. We weren't at opposition. We were a unit. We raised our children, and we dedicated our children. We raised them as a unit. And that was our goal, to raise, have a Christian home, occupy a Christian home. We live with my mom and dad, and we lived there about a year and a half. And we prayed every night. When Samson was in my wife's womb, we prayed over him every night. I read the Bible to him. Well, she read the Bible. I learned how to read by reading with her. We occupied. And we started tithing. One of the hardest things most Christians have to do is start giving. You said, "Why?" Bless my heart today. We're right leaving the house, and Nathan said, "Oh man, I forgot my tithe. I forgot my offering." I said, "Well, get it when come back on the bus." I've been tithing since I got started living for God. I started tithing. You know what God's done? He's proved me over and over and over and over. He said, "Well, that church." My dad used to say, "That church don't need your money." It was a church, a big old church, 2,000 people. He said, "That church don't need your money." I said, "Yeah, but I need to give because I need to do what's right. I need to honor God." Plus, there's missionaries. We have Wednesday night. We send our missionary offerings on Wednesday night. We give out. We send money to the missionary all over the world. We could take on more if everybody was faithful. He said, "Well, you don't know I got financial problems." I guarantee most people have financial problems because they don't give. If you're saved, you don't give to God, you'll have financial problems.
Amen.
Bible says this. I mean, folks, I'm not hitting on that. I'm not hitting on trying to get your money. I care less what you give. I don't even know. I don't know what anybody gives. I don't even want to know. That's between you and God. But I know this. Between me and God, I know I got to do what's right. And I got to give what's right to God. It's not like saying God's hard up and he needs my money. No, he don't. I need his blessings.
Yeah.
And I need to be obedient to him. And God's not going to entrust you with anything bigger and doing anything better till you get them little things right.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Them little things. The Bible says despise not the day of small things. And you get them little things right, and you start doing what's right, you'll start getting a little bit more position, Lord start blessing you more here and there. And I'm not saying it's the money. It's not the money. It's obedience. Y'all get that? You understand that?
Amen.
I don't want nobody to go out of here thinking it's about the money. No, it ain't. I can't stand the churches. Mr. Garner went to that big old church, and he got a letter in the mail saying, your offerings were down this year. You need to bring them up to next year like you did next year, last year. He got mad. I got mad, too. I said, what in the world church writing me a letter, writing a letter telling you need to bring your offering up between you and the Lord? If you fear God, want to do right, he'll take care of the thing. Amen? Lord help him. You'll never get a letter from this church saying, you need to give him more money. That's a lie. I can't stand that. Matthew 28, verse 19. We'll get through the message here in a minute. He says, giving the gospel. Occupy by sending and giving the gospel. He says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. First thing I say to people when they tell me, preacher, I have financial problems. I say, are you giving? Are you giving to the Lord? You better be giving. You say, well, I can't afford. I've had people tell me, I can't afford to give. I say, you can't afford not to. You better do it. I mean, man, we're supposed to be occupying. We occupy in the ministry of intercession. Occupy in the ministry. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? When's the last time you prayed for people to get saved? When's the last time you prayed, Lord, give me fruit? April over here sitting here this morning, she said, God gave me some fruit last Sunday. God gave me some fruit Monday. God gave me some fruit. When's the last time you prayed, God, give me some fruit? We occupy. Take that away from him. Give it to him over here. Take that what he has. He kind of hid it. Take it away from him. Give it over here. You say, that really going to happen? Occupy in the ministry of intercession. Pray. Bible says pray for our country. Or pray for kings or those in our power. When's the last time you prayed for our country? Pray for our president. Pray for our, I prayed for the president when Obama was in office. I prayed for when Bush was in office. I prayed for when Reagan was in office. I pray for all of them. Pray for our country. Why? If our country stays free, we'll stay free.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll be able to get the word of God out. Pray for those that are in authority. Pray for revival. We got August meeting coming up, and we call it the August revival. But really, revival is where God reclaims things. God starts reclaiming people, reclaiming souls. Do we want revival? Are you going to pray for it? August 19th starts Sunday morning. Are you going to invite somebody? We got these flyers to put out. Are you going to invite somebody to come and get saved? Maybe somebody said, well, I'm willing to go take you out to eat. If you say, I ain't got the money, come see me. I'll try to get you the money. Even if it's McDonald's, I'll give you some money. I'll tell you what, when we was in Israel, we was glad to find McDonald's. I'm going to tell you what, that was a blessing. We occupy by the ministry of intercession. I mean prayer, praying for people. And pray for people that, and when you start praying, take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 4. I'm going to stop with this because it's time short. I haven't even got to 2 points. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at this. When people started praying, I mean the place shook. I'd like to have that kind of prayer meeting.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? Like, man, you know, back in the 90s when my son and all the guys were young, there used to be like 90 teenagers sitting over here. 90 teenagers. And a couple of the teenagers started getting together praying. And they started witnessing. Our house burned up in 1991. And man, you know what God did when the place burned up? Five buses pulled up in front of my house that morning. Four or five buses. And we were sitting in Pop-Pop's house. Pop-Pop lived right next door. My daughter Becky lives in that house now. And she bought that house, her and her husband. And Pop-Pop was sitting in the house. And when the buses pulled up, we had a single trailer. I asked God to give us a bigger place, and the place burned up. Caught on fire that night, 4 days before Christmas. And I'll never forget, we're sitting in the house, and we could hear the buses pull up with the kids. And those kids on that bus thought my children burned up in that fire. The trailer was gone. A single wide trailer, old 1970 trailer. And it was burned up. And those kids, you could hear the bus go, and then you hear the kids start wailing, crying. Every bus pulled up, they started crying. Those bus drivers got together, took up an offering from the kids, and gave us almost $2,000. The kids. My kids had a testimony on the bus. They went to a public school. And man, when God turned around and blessed us more than we ever had, better clothes than we ever had, better everything than we ever had. And I told my wife, our house got paid off 2 years before it was supposed to. I mean, I went to the mailbox, opened up, and I got a letter from the bank saying the house is paid off. I said, no way. So I called the bank. I called the bank 3 times and said, something wrong. Y'all messed up. And I went in the house, and finally I'm walking around the house. Jesse and Linda's in there. And I'm going, something wrong. And they said, what? I said, our house is paid for. And they said, no. Linda said, let me call that bank. So she called the bank. She calls the bank. And she said, nope, it's paid for. I get on the phone. Did somebody pay the bank? They said, no, nobody paid it. I said, how did it happen? She said, I don't know. It's paid for. Just tear up the junk. I said, I ain't tearing up because I don't trust y'all. I ain't interested. And I told my wife, I said, you know what it is? I'm trying to be faithful to God by giving. You know, folks, I've come too far to see what God's done. I've seen how he's taken care of us. And you ain't gonna fool me.
Amen.
You ain't fooling me. People say, oh, the church take care of you. No, folks, when I first came to this church, I paid bills. I helped pay the bills here. And I'll do my part. You going to do yours? Occupy. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Well done, thou good, faithful servant. You've been faithful over that which is least, you'll be faithful over much. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over that which is least, you'll be faithful over much. You're a wicked servant. Take that away from him. Give it to him over there. I don't want that to be said about me.
Amen.
Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. My Father, I pray, God, help our church. Lord, you've been good to us. Lord, you've blessed this church. God, you've blessed us over and over again. But I believe we could do more. And Lord, I'm not trying to get us into a false mindset. But I know, God, it's just consistency.